Good morning, folks. Good morning, everybody. A warm welcome to Binscombe Church at Broadwater School this morning, on this Sunday morning. If you'd like to come in and take a seat, we're going to be gathering around the Lord's table this morning. Pete's going to be leading us during that part of this morning's first part of the service, but I'm going to be starting us off, and we're going to be reflecting this morning on what I believe is one of the most plaintive, one of the most heart-rending lines of scripture. My God, why have you forsaken me? As Isaiah said, Isaiah 53 verse 3, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Some of you may have been looking at the Beauty of the Cross, the Tim Chester book that was recommended by way of a study for us during Lent. And he writes some really insightful and profound reflections on Jesus on the cross and gives great clarity. And I've drawn on some of what he's written this morning. He says, Jesus came to be one with us and we despised him for it. He came to that which was his own, and says John, but his own did not receive him. When true love appeared among us, we hated it. When true beauty appeared, we found nothing in it to attract us. God in Christ came to stand with us in our pain, in our plight, in our sin. And in response, we stood against God. God with us, us against God. So before we go any further, we're just going to take a moment now to still ourselves and to prepare ourselves to go deeper into Scripture this morning. So let's take a moment to pray. Father, thank you that you love us so much, that you are prepared to sacrifice your Son for us, and Lord Jesus, that you loved us so much, that you willingly went to the cross for us. Thank you, Father, that you are God who is willing to exchange the glory of heaven for the shame of the cross. A God who is willing to exchange the safety of heaven for the pain of the cross. And a God who is willing to exchange the power of heaven for the weakness of the cross. Amen. And when I say the weakness of the cross, I mean the relative or perceived weakness of the cross. We know as believers that it is the most profound and powerful symbol of victory and not defeat. We're going to have a look in Mark's gospel, continuing this series where we're just reflecting on some of what Jesus said when he was on the cross. And our passage this morning will be found on page 1023 in the church Bibles. And I'm just going to read from Mark 15, verses 33 to 39, so it's on page 1023, the death of Jesus. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. At this point of victory, we consider some of the most controversial and heart-rending of all Jesus' words from the cross. Just one short verse that sends shockwaves reverberating in our consciousness as we realize just how alone Jesus felt at the time of his death. Having been betrayed by a friend and abandoned by his followers, denied by one of his inner circle, as he faced questioning by the chief priests and the Pharisees, accused of committing the ultimate blasphemy in simply claiming to be who he is, the Son of God. This seems bad enough, doesn't it? But to be abandoned by his Father at the time he needed him most, how do we square this? How do we reconcile a God of love, a God that is love, with one who left his only son to die a brutal criminal's death, to hang on a cross on a hill outside Jerusalem, utterly and desperately alone? Well, a foretaste to Jesus' forsakenness can be found in Gethsemane, the night before his death. Here Jesus, in his frail humanity, asked his Father to take this cup from me. Then, in his perfect divinity, accepted what was to come, with not what I will, but what you will. As Jesus approached the completion of God's perfect salvation plan, his Father remained silent in the garden. It's only in Luke's Gospel does the Father send an angel to comfort Jesus. God, who cannot be near sin, knows that in taking on the sin of the world on Jesus' shoulders, in Jesus absorbing all of that sin into his body, he who is without sin will become sin. And God cannot be near sin. In unpacking this further, I found not only did I refer to Scripture, and not only did I read the beauty of the cross, but in looking into Scripture and in looking into an interview that was given some time ago by John Piper, I looked into Psalm 22. And I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to turn to Psalm 22 with me. You're going to find it on page 554 in the church Bibles. It's 554. And it's by unpacking Psalm 22 that we can see how explicitly Jesus also knew how his final hours would play out. It begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. This despairing plea from Jesus as he hangs on the cross near death is the first line from Psalm 22, a psalm that seems almost like a script for Jesus' last hours on earth. It was one, of course, that Jesus knew by heart. And critically, he knew that it was in some way going to be about him. At least three or more sections of this psalm are quoted in the story of his death. If we look at verses 6 through to 8, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then verse 15, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And from verses 16 to 18, they pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Vivid, powerful, poignant images of Jesus on the cross. So why was Jesus quoting from this script that Psalm 22 represents so faithfully? First, he was truly abandoned. Jesus was experiencing total forsakenness. Hence, my God, why have you forsaken me? This means he really did it. Jesus really is bearing our sin, bore our judgment. The judgment was to have God the Father pour out his wrath, and instead of pouring it out on us, he pours it out on him. In doing so, this involves abandonment. It is what wrath means. God the Father giving up the Son to suffer the weight of all the sins of all people and the judgment for those sins. We cannot begin to fathom all that this would mean between Father and Son. John Piper writes, to be forsaken by God is the cry of the damned, and he was damned for us. So Jesus uses these words because there was a real, total forsakenness. And over 13 years of being in full-time youth ministry, whenever I've been questioned on this passage or taught on this passage, I've always tried to get around this harshest of realities. And I've attempted to soften this complete withdrawal by the Father by saying, for example, oh, no. What's happened is because Jesus has taken on our sin, he understands what it's like to be like us, that being encloaked in sin means that he experiences this disconnection from the Father. So really, he's just calling out, Father, Father, I can't see you. Or I've said, well, maybe the Father was just so distraught at seeing what the Son went through that the Father just had to look away. But in going deeper, it's become clear that that was just me maybe trying to paint God in a better light, maybe trying to reassure myself that Jesus was not forsaken, that he was not abandoned at the point of his death and didn't really have to suffer alone. But the reality is he was and he did. Second, Jesus crying out. The why before have you forsaken me is not necessarily a question looking for an answer, but a way of expressing the horrors of abandonment. Jesus knew ahead of time what he was doing, what would happen to him, why he was doing it. His Father had sent him for this very moment and he'd agreed to come, knowing full well that this would happen. Gethsemane was a taster that Jesus would have to endure this alone, with the cross being the harshest realization of his forsakenness. Jesus knew it was coming, but the reality of the physical and spiritual torture combined with a sense of abandonment from his Father was so excruciating that Jesus cries out. It is a cry of utter loneliness and desperation, and one reflected by the elements as we see in Mark's Gospel. Verse 33, darkness came over the whole land and an earthquake shook the foundations of the temple and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Verse 38, evidence that God was crying out along with his Son. It's a cry that always brings a lump into my throat, for this is a moment of utter agony. Our Saviour suffered alone and he did it for you and he did it for me. Thirdly, this is all scripted in the Father. Quoting from Psalm 22, this isn't simply Jesus dying on the cross and quoting scripture for the sake of it. The cross represents the very essence of his messianic calling. In eternity past, present and future, the Son is united with the Father. But at this point of abandonment, it seems authentic that if Jesus is to cry out, then he will do so from the heart of scripture, as he is rooted in it. Scripted by the Father. Again, Psalm 22, from verse 22. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All your descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Just as Jesus knew that he would have to carry the weight of the sin of the world alone, he also knew that his Father would not fully abandon him, that he would be raised up, as had been prophesied, to sit at the right hand of the Father in his rightful place. Jesus' forsakenness would be temporary, his glory eternal. So the Psalm 22 ends on a note of triumph. Jesus isn't curious as to how this would end. He already knew. He had embedded in his soul in both the sorrows of the moment of abandonment and in the joy that was set before him, trusting fully in the Father to raise him up from the dead and restore him to his rightful place in heaven. At some level, he knows it is not the final cry or an ultimate cry, but a cry of real spiritual desolation, with words that were second nature to him, because Jesus' whole life was scripted by the Father. Crying out in agony with the words of Psalm 22 shows that as horrible as the plan is, it is all going to plan. All of it, was a fulfillment of Scripture. Even the worst of it was a fulfillment of Scripture. The worst moment in the history of the world, and it was Scripture fulfilling. So in crying out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was real forsakenness for our sake. Jesus was expressing spiritual desolation, not seeking an answer. He was fulfilling Scripture in the horror of it all and witnessing to the perfect plan of salvation. He was amazingly fulfilling the perfect plan of salvation, knowing that he would be raised up and fully restored by his Father. This victory is heralded by the very last verse of Psalm 22. Verse 31 says, "He has done it." Friends, he has done it. After a moment for us just to reflect on Jesus willingly going to the cross for us, Alan's then going to play and we're going to join in with "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and then Pete will lead us through the rest of the first service this morning.